Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Happy Friday. Welcome to the Odds Couple. My name is Scott Pritchard, a professional sports bettor handicapper. This show is about sports betting. Let's make some money. It must be Friday. Anthony Padilla is in the house. How are you?
I've been better.
How so?
Well, my winning streak came to an end.
Oh, that's right.
So,
hey, how did it feel?
It hurts. It hurts, man. I'm not going to lie. It's really hard for me to be here today.
I'm concerned. You lose one time in 4 months, and you're this upset.
Yeah, you're used to it. You do it on a daily basis. I have not lost since January. This is really uncharted waters for me. So
I have to say, boys and girls, listeners, viewers out there, that Anthony Padilla has been on some kind of a streak, ATS against the spread. It's been since January since he lost. Now, he comes in here every Friday, releases one play, winner, winner, chicken dinner, then he leaves.
Now,
but last Friday,
let's not lose.
Let's
not discredit this here, because you've only been going daily for the past month and a half. You also were once a week. And when you were only once a week, I believe you were on a losing streak of about 6 months. So
that's impossible.
Let's put it in perspective.
You shouldn't put misinformation out there, all right? The show loses credibility when you say that.
The show loses credibility by the fact that you're one of the hosts.
The fact is, you can archive the shows, my friend. I mean, Anthony. And we all know that I've had a very good football season, a very good basketball season, only to be upstaged by some fan.
I'll tell you what, you're even better picking football games during basketball season.
I'm glad you're only here on Fridays.
I told you, I'm in a bad mood, man.
Well, here's the concern.
This loss really got to me, especially because of the way I lost. And we'll get into it later.
No, we won't. We're going to address it right now.
We'll get into my loss.
I had no
idea
that your skin was so thin. You have to have nerves of steel to do this. This isn't for the faint of heart. Coming from someone who has a history of an irregular heartbeat, but you have to be tough.
Losers, yeah, again.
What are we talking about? Losers. I've been winning. 11-4 in my last 5. Do you not tune into this show?
No. No.
I mean, I don't expect you to tune in on Fridays.
Scott, during the week, I stay as far away from this programming as I possibly
can.
Why?
Why? You know, it's very educational, informative, and a bit humorous. You should tune in.
But I can't listen to myself. I'm here.
Well, so you choose to ignore the voices in your head.
What's that?
No,
I'm happy to be here.
I'm concerned.
It was a loss. But
because Anthony lost one time since January, and here's the concern. I mean, professional sports bettors know you have to be tough-minded, tough-skinned. The more you fail, the more you succeed. I'm very successful.
Used to losing.
Well, 52.4% is the break-even point. If you're hitting 55-60% winners, you're doing extremely well. The concern I have for you is Friday at LVH, I did a guest spot in Anthony's show, Comedy After Dark, with Anthony Padilla, LVH. It's a great show. If you're in Vegas, be sure to check it out. But when I saw Anthony before he took the stage, he was drinking. He was down. He was dejected. I said, what, no girl again? And he said, no, I lost my game. So he was, and he took the stage with the drink in his hand, and I hung with him for 2 hours after the show. Remind me never to do that again. And again, nonstop drinking. I didn't recognize you today. You came into the studio with no alcohol.
Oh, well, I left it in the car.
Okay.
I don't want to drink during the show.
Okay, it's okay again. To drink and drive, but do not be drinking on
the
show.
I don't condone that. I don't condone that either. I'm just saying, hey, it's been a rough stretch for me, especially because of the way that my team lost. Well, it wasn't my team. It was the Pirates. But because of the way that went down, you know, in true fashion, when you're riding a streak, it's something crazy that happens. And
how would you know? This is the only streak you've ever been on.
No. Again, I pay attention to sports. You sit in front of a computer. I know more about streaks than you ever will.
I doubt that.
I'm fairly certain. Well, no. Well, I guess you're used to losing and going up and down a little bit, but right now, I'm riding a losing streak.
I can tell you that
I
don't.
Week losing streak.
I don't go on a bench for 7 days when I lose a game. It's a good thing.
You completely made that up. I didn't say that I was on a bench. I feel like you're taking this whole loss thing a little further. Now I have a reason to drink. Now I will be leaving the studio today and hitting up one of the bars in this wherever we're at in this area of town and doing a little bit of day drinking.
Well, let's get started on the odds couple with what say you. I'm getting bored by this conversation, so we're going to respectfully move along. The Los Angeles Angels, wow, don't look now, but they're starting to play good baseball. There's been a power surge in Anaheim, the Angels. The Los Angeles Angels have won 5 consecutive games. They were powered last night by 4 home runs. They knocked off the Royals 5-4. The Angels are for real. What say you?
What is wrong with you? That's what I say. Or that's what say I. They're on a power surge because they've won 5. Did we forget how they started the first 35 games of the season? Only a sports bettor would say that a team who loses 70% of their first 30 games and then wins 5 in a row is for real.
We're talking about now, current trend. They've won 5 in a row.
Really?
4 home runs.
Mister,
no,
the Patriots won back in 96 when the Patriots won the Super Bowl. That is why this year they will be the team to beat. That's your reason.
You don't hear me say that this year about the Patriots.
Well,
again,
that's because we're in baseball
again,
season.
Listen,
wait till football season comes.
I bet
back
numbers,
on.
Not teams. Is this your first time on the show?
Clearly, because I'm only noticing you go back and forth with what's more convenient in terms of writing streaks and what's for real versus what's temporary. So what? They've won 5 games. Who have they beat?
Do you have anything to say about the Angels, or are we just going to...
I just asked you a question. I said, who have they beat?
They beat the Kansas City Royals.
Okay, well, there you go.
A major league team.
Okay, no, Scott. There's major league teams, and then there's better major league teams. So that's irrelevant. You can't just say, well, they won a game. They're good, because those other guys are professionals, too. Well, they're not as good of professionals as guys on other teams. So let's play this out over the next couple of weeks. Are they improved? Absolutely. Hands down. They're hitting much better. You know, Hamilton seems to be coming into a little bit more of a groove. How can you not after starting 0 for the season? But I don't know if I'm ready to say they're for real yet. I would like them to be. Mike Socha is a great guy, you know, and a great manager. And he's doing the best he can with that lineup. But I don't know if I'm ready to say that this team is for real.
Angels have been a very good over team. Lends itself to the fact that they hit the ball 1-9. They do not pitch very well. Their pitching has been atrocious. Their starting pitching is a joke. Their bullpen, a joke. They have won 5 games in a row. Congratulations to them. Let's talk NBA. NBA. All NBA. All right. They announced it yesterday. Interesting. LeBron James, Kevin Durant, CP3, Kobe Bryant, and Tim Duncan. Never mind that Marc Gasol, Defensive Player of the Year, that's the media talking. The players will tell you that Tim Duncan is first-team all-defense. Your thoughts on the all-NBA team there?
Could care less.
Great.
None of that stuff means anything, you know, because in this day and age, no matter who makes anything anymore, nobody's ever happy. So, it truly doesn't matter. And I was really, what really got me disheartened with all of this voting type stuff is when Marc Gasol won the award, you know, what was it, last month, you know, Defensive Player of the Year. And right away you have everybody bashing it. And I'm not saying that it hasn't always been like that, but it nowadays, because everybody and their brother has a blog or whatever that they want to put out there, you know, nothing can even be appreciated anymore. So it doesn't matter who's. And it's become more of a popularity contest amongst the stars as well.
So we recap the all-NBA team, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, CP3, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan. I came up with my all-anti-NBA team. I came up with players that I do not like for one reason or another. And at the head of the list would be Rasheed Wallace. This is the guy who was a professional whiner, crier, crybaby. I mean, because of him, they had to install a new rule, the 16 technicals and you're suspended for a game. A 7-foot man-child that whines and cries. Plus, he was on that team that cost me a lot of money back in Game 7, the Portland Trailblazers against the Laker girls, where the Blazers could not hold a 13-point lead. Yes, they were outshot from the free throw line 37-16, compliments of the NBA conspiracy theorists out there. But Rasheed Wallace would be on that on my team, the all-anti-NBA team. Bonzi Wells, another Portland Trailblazer disciple. God-given ability and talent, but a complete bum when it comes to playing basketball. Derek Fisher, wow. I felt kind of bad when the Thunder got ousted. I was looking forward to the Spurs handing Derek Fisher his ass. Derek Fisher is the narcissistic gentleman who has been fortunate to play with the Lakers and win five NBA championships, so egotistical that he wears the number 6 on his jersey now. But he's a cherry picker, okay? He went to the Dallas Mavericks this year because he felt the Mavs, 2 years removed from winning an NBA title, felt like maybe they had a shot to win the title after being there for a couple, 3 weeks. He said, listen, I'm out of here. I want to spend time with my family. Mark Cuban, Mr. Billionaire Owner, will you opt me out of my contract? Family, very, very important to me. A month later, he signs with the Oklahoma City Thunder. You know, the team that went to the NBA Finals a year ago. Derek Fisher is past it. Not a big fan. Liability on defense. He's an antique by NBA standards. He is a spot-up three-point shooter. Nothing more, nothing less. So Derek Fisher makes my all-anti-NBA team, along with Rasheed Wallace, Bonzi Wells, Derek Fisher, and now Tony Allen has fallen out of favor with me. I was a big Tony Allen fan up until this series against the Spurs. Game one, you may or may not remember, he blatantly, intentionally tripped the best point guard in the lead in the league in Tony Parker. And then the flagrant foul, it's as much on the refs as it is Tony Allen to carry on the way he did, making a mockery of the league, the NBA, and, of course, the opposition. So my all-anti-NBA team, Rasheed Wallace, Bonzi Wells, Derek Fisher, Tony Allen. I'm going to leave one choice for Anthony Padilla, which is consistent with the workload here. I do about 80% of the work. You just come in, pick winners, and you're on your way. So can you come up with one player, one time for the anti-NBA team?
You know, I'm kind of surprised. For someone who was just so adamant not even 5 minutes ago about saying that you pick numbers, not teams, you've got some really strong personal opinions against players. So clearly you do pay attention to the teams and the individuals. And you
I have opinions.
Sure. So when I'm picking teams, you can't say, well, I picked numbers. They're still professionals. Well, which
I've been doing this for 30 years. All right. I'm not going to deviate because of something you say on this show. I bet numbers. I'm about value. Doesn't mean I don't have opinions on players or games.
Right. Yeah. That's not what I'm arguing here. What I brought up was you're saying that 5 minutes ago, you're saying the Angels are legit and they're for real. And I said, well, who have they played? You said it doesn't matter. They're playing a major league team. But you have these personal opinions about these players. Well, these players are on these other teams that make up these teams. So therefore, you do have teams that are not as legitimate per se as other teams. Are they in the same league? Yes. But are they in the same league? Sometimes no. As far as your anti-NBA team, it's I don't know if it's funny or ironic to hear you bring up Tony Allen with the flagrant foul, because yes, he did act that out in terms of hitting his head, but he did it against the biggest flaw. He did it against the Spurs. The Spurs could be a professional soccer team. They could teach people how to properly flop. They've done it better than anybody over the past 8 years. And yet one guy does it against them in a playoff game, and it's like, oh my God, how dare he? Well, they reviewed it. The call wasn't because he was rolling around holding his head. It was because his arm was pulled down. That was it. It's not
there was no intent. He didn't go to the guy's head. And
but that's not what a
refs,
that's
it's
not
as much on the refs as it is Tony Allen. But for him to go and the clown Tony Allen, you're going to defend this character, which is entertaining in and of itself. The fact that he actually stood up and said to the ref, "Ref, I'm dizzy. Ref, I'm dizzy." I mean,
well,
I gotta tell you,
if I'm
playing, I'm taking justice out on this guy. I'm telling you, he doesn't not want to come down the lane if I'm playing.
What? Again, this is the Spurs. Ginobili, one of the biggest floppers in the NBA ever.
How many times has he been fined this year for flopping? Because this year they instilled the rule: if you flop, you get fined.
Okay, just because they weren't finding it in the past doesn't mean he wasn't doing it. Just because it wasn't illegal, just because Baseball players 40 years ago weren't being tested for PEDs doesn't mean they weren't doing worse stuff than players now because there's one small ingredient in some substance that they're doing unknowingly or because they're putting a spray to recover faster that really doesn't impact performance at all. But that's just what we've said that happens.
It would be nice to let the players decide the outcome of a game. The only thing worse than Tony Allen making a complete ass out of himself is the fact that the officials actually bought the theatrics. But again, that's the NBA. I mean, the NBA refs suck. This is not news. It's only news if we don't have to talk about the NBA refs. But we have to talk about them every single game because they're totally incompetent. I refer to the NBA refs as the Keystone Cops. But can we get back to the one question I asked you about 12 minutes ago?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I've got the computer up here and I just put in Ginobili flopping on Google. And the first thing that comes up is Manu Ginobili, the biggest flopper in the NBA. I mean, that's the first thing
that
pulls up
on the
internet.
What does that have to do with the game on the line, 26 seconds to go?
Oh, so you only flop midway through the season when the game doesn't mean as much?
Way off topic. How does this turn into Manu Ginobili flopping when we're talking about Tony Allen? Can you stay focused? Do I need to put blinders on like a horse race?
Scott, just because you don't know how to respond to what I'm saying about Tony Allen doesn't mean I'm off topic.
What are you talking about? Just because you're raising your voice, you're still wrong.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Well, no, do you want to move on?
No, I
want to
hear what idiotic response you have for what I just asked you.
I answered your question. You're bringing up Tony Allen. What a D-bag because he flopped with 26 seconds, and I can't believe you did that. And I said, you, just like the rest of Spur America, are you serious?
I never said
this
he
is
flopped.
The biggest
he
flopping
didn't flop.
Team.
He simply grabbed his head acting like it was like the guy was going for his head.
It's the equivalent of a flop.
That's according to you.
No.
That's subjective.
No, it isn't.
I never said he flopped.
There's nothing subjective about that.
I never said he flopped. It has nothing to do
with
my point.
You're doing something to make the refs think that you were fouled in a certain way. Much like flopping. You flop to draw the foul.
Forget the theatrics. The rule simply said there was no intent there. And they actually reviewed it, and they had a chance to man up and overrule it, and they chose not to, and it directly affected the game. The game was over. 4-point game. Tony Allen, you fouled him. It was the right move by Ginobili to grab his arm, tie him up. And if he makes both, you still have the ball. You have to foul the Spurs. The game is over. The only way that it would not be over is if they call the flagrant foul, get the officials involved, and 2 points and the ball, they score. It goes overtime. But again, karma came into play, and the Spurs, being as good as they are, Tim Duncan scored 6 of the Spurs' 8 points in overtime. They went on to win by 4 points.
Now, you said that it wasn't an intentional foul, correct?
In the spirit of the game, there's an intent. Of course it was an intentional foul.
Sure, but it was a flagrant foul. By definition, a flagrant foul it involves excessive or violent contact which could injure the fouled player.
Violent contact.
Excessive.
That's to imply going to the head.
No, that's talk about subjectivity. Head is not mentioned in that anywhere. How do you just decide violent contact? That means it's going to the head. No, it doesn't. It's excessive or violent contact. He grabbed his arm and pulled it down. Now he's falling and he doesn't even have an arm to catch himself with. That's excessive. Maybe not violent. If you want to say violent is a blow to the head, you're right. There's no blow to the head. He acted like it was a blow to the head, which would imply violence, but it was excessive in itself. So no matter how you want to break it, it wasn't intentional, but definitely excessive.
No intent. And again, let the players decide the outcome of the game. Leave the officials out of it altogether.
So when do you call a foul?
It was a foul. It was a hard foul, not a flagrant foul. It was a hard foul.
It wasn't excessive?
Not at all.
He didn't pull his arm down?
Of course he did, but he's trying to make sure that he doesn't score.
Could he have injured him?
Well, you could say that about every play.
No, but it was excessive and could have resulted in injury. That is the definition of a flagrant foul.
I didn't think it was excessive
foul.
At all.
You just said it was excessive.
He fouled him hard, but it wasn't excessive.
You just said it was excessive.
You have to foul him hard, otherwise you're going to give up a potential 3-point play.
So you're telling me the only way to foul him is to grab his arm and continue to pull it down? That's the only way anybody ever gets fouled under the basket like that? Because I don't really see that often. I see guys get swatted. I see them get slapped down. I don't see someone's arm get excessively pulled down.
Are you going to answer the question, or are we just going to move on? Do you have a player for the
Dwight Howard? Anti-
Dwight Howard. Okay, great. Hey, you're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Scott Pritchard, Live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. Check out my site, PritchardsPicks.com. That's PritchardsPicks.com. Some of the information is free. Some of it you do have to pay for. Go to my site, sign up for free daily picks. Also, check me out on VegasInsider.com. We have 1 million views per day. And then Ref Picks, Tim Donahue's site, refpicks.com. Be sure and check that out. The studio line is up and running, and I encourage you to call in so it means I don't have to talk to Anthony Padillas quite so much. 702-221-7283. The live chat is up and running. We're going to keep things moving with Spin to Win. We have game two going on tonight, the Pacers taking on the Heat, but we're going to take a look at tomorrow's game because as much as we like the odds couple, we're not going to be here on Saturday, and we did do Spin to Win yesterday with the Heat taking on the Pacers for tonight's game. So now we're going to hone in on the Memphis Grizzlies. They're at home against the San Antonio Spurs, and it line on this game is 5.5. It opened 4.5, been bet up to all the money's coming in on the Grizzlies. Maybe it's because of the zigzag theory. Spurs are up 2-0. I'm going to spin the wheel. I'm forced to make an argument for one team. Anthony automatically has to argue for the opposing team. The smart better bets with their head, never their heart. We're talking the Spurs up 2-0 on the road, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Spurs minus the 5.5, actually plus. They've got the point spreads right, but they've got the wrong team favored. How do these sports books stay open? San Antonio Spurs, we've talked about it forever. They get absolutely no respect. They're the Rodney Dangerfields of the league. The San Antonio Spurs, I told you before, the Western Conference Finals should be renamed the Greg Popovich Invitational. They've won 4 NBA titles since Duncan and Popovich have been together. They've been to the Western Conference Finals 8 times in the past 15 years. The Spurs understand that they had won 10 consecutive playoff games a year ago. They were in the Western Conference Finals, up 2-0 before taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder. They lost 4 consecutive games, so they are aware. More importantly, the Spurs are hungry, healthy, and like me, a bit annoyed. So this makes this a very dangerous team. The Spurs plus the 5.5, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Well, considering the Spurs are the biggest flopping team in the NBA, this is clearly going to play in the favor of Memphis at home. Because, much like my partner today, all the Spurs and their coach do is whine when things don't go their way. Now, they've played well, I'll give them that, but they're getting tired. And Memphis, I think, this is tough. I hope that they have enough left in them to pull this series out. But in the opening round, they went down a game, came back and won the series 4 straight. Second round, they went down 2, came back and won the next 4. Now they're down 0-2 against the Spurs. I know we're not playing out the series right now. We're just going with this particular game. 5.5 points, you know, you never know, but they are at home, and they've been tough. And if you're going with the history of these playoffs alone, they're undefeated at home in these playoffs. So, yes, they've got the Spurs, but they've also played the Spurs tough in the first 2. The Spurs have been the better team, but because they're at home, that's going to be the biggest thing to play into their favor. Although on the flip side, just to give the argument of the other side, this 3 days rest, that's huge. That's huge for both teams, and that's really big for the Spurs because that is a team that I thought going into the playoffs, you know, it was going to affect these guys. The Spurs have stayed the healthiest out of every team, which is surprising because they're the oldest team. But that's a testament to Popovich and what they've done. However, I do have the Grizzlies in this game, and I do believe that because they're at home and because their backs are against the wall, look, if they lose this game, they're done. I mean, they're probably done anyway, but if they lose this game, they're absolutely done in 5 at least. So this is a big game. That always plays into these type of situations. So the 5.5, you're right. I don't know how the sports books stay open either because I think Memphis has this game.
Grizzlies have to win 4 of the next 5 games to extend and perhaps win this series. They've been a dominant home court team, but the Spurs are a very good road team. The line opened 4.5. The money has all the money's come in on Memphis from 4.5 to 5 to 5.5. We'll see how it plays out. I'm not convinced. I mean, you dance with who you brought. And the Spurs, we know their rotations are consistent, but with the Grizzlies, maybe it's because they're down 2-0, they're behind the 8 ball. Lionel Hollins, the coach, has talked about maybe inserting Pondexter into the starting lineup. Now, last game, Tayshaun Prince only played 17 minutes, 1-for-5 shooting. Pondexter off the bench the first two games has really played well. I've been throwing the Grizzlies under the bench all year. They have no bench. But Pondexter has been a pleasant surprise for this team.
Yeah, I think you're just not you. But when they start doing that, they start grasping at straws. You know, I mean, I took the Grizzlies in that because I had to, but I'm really concerned about this team at this point. I mean, the Spurs are kicking it in. They're doing what a veteran team does. They're clicking on all cylinders, and they're doing what it takes to win. And they don't even look like they're squeezing out a win. They look like they're dominating. You know, they almost look like that Spurs of old where they're just kind of toying with the other team. They don't quite have that strong finishing capability that they used to, but they're still doing what it takes to get it done. And I think ultimately this series is already over.
You look at the Spurs, and the fact is that Manu Ginobili has not played well the entire playoffs, excluding the game-winning shot against the Warriors. I mean, even in that game, he was 4-for-19 before he nailed the game winner. But he struggled. He was the reason why there was the flagrant foul against Tony Allen, because he turned the ball over with 28 seconds to go in the contest. So the idea here is, for Spurs fans, Manu Ginobili has not played well. Duncan has been a little bit erratic, a little bit inconsistent, but yet they're still up 2-0. The Grizzlies had 19 offensive rebounds in the last game and still lost. It makes you wonder what can they do to, I mean, from the Spurs standpoint, they really only need to win one of two in Memphis. They'll be happy. But you're right. Obviously, if they win on Saturday, the Spurs series is over.
Well, I mean, what you just said is exactly what's been going on this entire playoffs. If you remember when the Spurs were playing Golden State, and it was a game that we had spoke on the phone, and I said, you know, I'm really concerned, because if there was that one game where Golden State ended up winning, but they were up 20, almost 20 points at one point in that game, and they almost lost. If they would have lost that game, I mean, if a 20-point lead isn't safe, then nothing is. You're not going to go up by 30 every game. So if you can't control a 20-point lead, then you've got some serious issues. And Memphis isn't going up by 20 on these guys, but it doesn't matter what they do. It just seems like the Spurs are game-planned for everything.
Well, you know, the last game, the Spurs actually led by 18. They were up 16 late in the third quarter, up 14 in the fourth quarter, only scored 9 points in the fourth quarter. But it kind of lends itself to the fact that if the Grizzlies have 19 offensive rebounds and Duncan and Manu have not played up to snuff, and the Spurs only score 9 points in the fourth quarter but still win, again, there has to be a reason why the line moved from 4.5, 5, 5.5. I get the zigzag theory. It's one tool that you use when handicapping. The zigzag theory, we talk about this on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And, Anthony, it's been lights out again this year.
Well, not last week.
Zigzag?
Yeah.
Again, the zigzag theory today says get on the Grizzlies minus the points in Game 3. Again, that's just one way of looking at
things. I think a lot of that has to do, again, with that, just to reinforce what you're saying, is that point of this is where those other things come into play. My favorite word is intangibles, and this is that game. You're down 0-2. You're going back home. If you go down 3, your back's not against the wall. You might as well start booking your tickets for Cabo because you're done.
Well, everyone knows if it's 3-0, the series is over. But the thing that surprises me is, again, I never trust the NBA officials. And even the last game, they called Tim Duncan. Talk about the Spurs not getting any respect. They called Tim Duncan for 3 fouls in a 30-second window. So the guy sat out most of the second half, but you wonder why he was so spry and so energetic in the overtime. It's because he was watching from the sidelines, compliments of the refs. But fortunately, he took over, and they ended up winning the game by 4. But what a big, big scare. Had the Grizzlies been able to take in Game 2, different series altogether, knowing that they would have stolen home court advantage.
Yeah, it's amazing what one game, what a you know, there's a lot of cliches in sports, but they're there for a reason. You know, every year is just a repeat of the previous year in terms of what's going on. You play the regular season, you go through the playoffs. The situations that arise are the same. So the same cliches apply. And it's amazing how much one game really can mean. It's amazing how much one possession can mean, you know?
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, I'm here Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday, Brett Grant, GM of KSHP every Friday. Anthony Padilla joins me. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera, broadcast-quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Happy Friday. Welcome back to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Great to have you with us. Would love to have you reach out to us on our show. Simply email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to hear your voice on our show through web-based voicemail. Go to Vegas Video Network. On the right-hand side, you'll see a red bar. Click there. Middle of the page, green bar. Hit start recording. We have live chat up and running. Troy, live chat question yesterday. Love to hear from you today. Boys and girls, if you have questions, concerns, comments about sports, namely sports betting. Now, if you do miss us live, it's okay. Reach out to us. Vegas Video Network, YouTube, iTunes, Roku. Frustration. You can't talk sports, namely sports betting, without incurring some frustration now and again. Are you kidding me?
Well, the streak was going to come to an end at some point, and it did. My goal was to make it through the year. If this was a six-month year, I would have been close, but I came up short. And the biggest problem I have with losing... Last week, I had the Houston Astros and the Pittsburgh Pirates. I was already leery about taking these two teams because neither of them, I mean, well, Houston is horrible, but sometimes they put up runs. Over-under was 8. I went with it. I took the under. I end up losing by 1 run. 9 runs total, and it came at the hands of an error in the 4th inning that ended up costing Pittsburgh 3 runs. So I lose by 1. I would have won by 2. I should have won by at least 1. Riding this streak for 5 months, and then I lose because of an error in the 4th inning at the hands of the Pittsburgh Pirates. But this is how it plays out in life and streaks and everything else. There's never a rhyme or reason. You never lose the way you think you're supposed to. But everything balances itself out. Whether it's a losing streak or a winning streak, no matter what, it's going to turn itself around, and you've got to be prepared. I lost. I'm ready to get back on the horse and do it again. Well, not if that horse is Orb, because Orb had quite the pressure to run last week in the Preakness, and he choked it off and cost a lot of people money. Thankfully, I didn't put any money on that guy. But, again, no rhyme or reason why the horse that was the heavy, heavy favorite, 7-5 going into the race, ends up losing and finishing I believe 4th, you know, and then a guy comes out of nowhere, leads wire to wire. So look, when it comes to streaks, you got to ride them out. Whether it's a winning streak or a losing streak, just know and be prepared for when it turns, but be able to and expect to ride that out as well. And I'm sure that you know this from doing what you've done. As long as you have the longevity, to build longevity, it takes being prepared. Knowing that whatever's going on is going to change. So you adjust accordingly. So my thing here is don't ever get too high or too low. I had a lot of fun with the highs because it was getting a little ridiculous, and I was enjoying it. But I knew it was going to end, and as upset as I am, it's just time to start another one. I'm on a one-game losing streak right now, so maybe I'll ride that for the next 5 months. Either way, it's all in fun, but just be prepared for when it turns. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me to me? I'm kidding. It's myself that I'm – just so everybody knows that.
Full court press. Memphis Grizzlies are thinking about – utilizing and incorporating a full court press to try to contain, slow down, negate the best point guard in all of basketball, Tony Parker. Full court press? Are you kidding me? What is this, a YMCA game? I would love, as a Spurs fan, I would love to see the Grizzlies try to incorporate a full court press. Full court press works in a pickup game. It might work at the high school level and glorified high school players who play college ball, yes, it can work there. Professional basketball, you don't see a full court press. Why? It doesn't work! The players are too good, they're too quick, they're too fast. And really, you're going to contain or slow down Tony Parker, the quickest, most athletic point guard in the league, by incorporating a full court press? I don't think it's going to happen, but talk in Memphis has it that they might. Why? Because in the fourth quarter, when you're down, they were down 14 points, they were desperate. So they experimented, and it was somewhat effective because the Spurs only scored 9 points. But what they didn't tell you is the Spurs were playing the clock. They were running the clock down and then forcing up a low percentage shot, and the Grizzlies made a nice run. Congratulations. Good for them. Let's not overreact here. Full court press. Are you kidding me?
I agree.
What?
I agree.
I might have to rethink this.
Well, I mean, what's the point? I feel like the full court press is kind of like a prevent defense in the NFL when they're running that, you know, two minute offense, and they're just moving the ball. Well, yeah, because the defense is letting you, you know. So it's what you just said. There's no reason for it. It's what the other team is doing to allow you to do that. But just like streaks, you got to be ready for that. But they're prepared for that. They know that they're going to get the full court press. They know that their ultimate thing is to run the time off. Just be careful with it because sometimes it can bite you.
You're listening to The Odds Couple. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper. Check out my site, PritchardsPicks.com. Check it out today. Get dialed in, opt in for free plays day-to-day. I handicap college and pro football, college and pro basketball, Major League Baseball, and WNBA basketball. Exciting. The WNBA season starts today. What do you mean you didn't know that? Opportunity is knocking, my friends. There are two kinds of people, those who knock every opportunity and those who take advantage when opportunity knocks. Opportunity's knocking. Bet WNBA totals. You'll be glad you did. There's a reason, my friend, why only a select few places in Las Vegas post WNBA totals. It's a winning proposition. They also limit how much you can bet, but do your homework based on field goal attempts, free throw attempts. There's an opportunity.
I can't wait.
Well, again, you're a big sports fan. You watch a lot of games, but something tells me you're going to respectfully pass on women's basketball?
You know what? I might do some picks for it, but I'm probably not going to be watching those games. I will say I have watched a game or two, and I have enjoyed those few moments that I've watched. But, yeah, I don't think I'm going to watch a lot of WNBA. I understand betting on it, though. I do understand that.
Check out VegasInsider.com. We have a million views a day. I've been featured on that site for the past 10, 12 years. Tim Donaghy, Tim will get this. I can't wait to have Tim on. Tim Donaghy has his own site, RefPicks.com. I'm one of the premier handicappers on that site. But I'm constantly throwing NBA officials under the bus, so I think Tim might enjoy that because David Stern and the league tried to block his book. It's the book that the NBA did not want released, but it's very, very interesting. If you can't afford the book, you can simply read excerpts from the book on the internet. So again, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com. Anthony Padilla, my good buddy, headliner, famous celebrity here in Las Vegas, has his own show, Comedy After Dark. Remind me, I'm there occasionally on Fridays. It's always a good turnout. You're loved and respected by so many people. Remind me when your show is during the week.
Well, Scott, I'm glad you asked. It's Wednesday through Sunday, and I'm excited about this because you are there with us on Fridays, and we love it. And we love it more because you've seen what a great place that is. I don't think a lot of people in this town realize how great of a place LVH still is. And I'm not taking this opportunity to blow up that place just because I'm there five nights a week, but it really is. It's nostalgic, it's historic, and it's a very, very cool environment, just the whole place. A lot of fun people, and I love being there. So yes, please come out. It's 10 o'clock every night, Wednesday through Sunday. And as of last night, we have been there 9 months. And as of today, this is now officially the longest relationship I have ever been in. So I'm happy.
Well, I have to say LVH is great. I mean, I like the sports book there. They have the Superbook contest. Jay Cornegay is a great sports book supervisor. He'll actually take a bet without limiting how much you can bet. The only concern is their lines are very, very sharp, so I try not to bet much there because two things warrant me to make a bet. A, I have to have a strong opinion. B, I have to get the best of it. It's okay to have a strong opinion, but I'm betting into sharp numbers. I respect the fact they'll take good money, but I, again, looking for a disparity in the line, I just don't find it at LVH. But you have some other good shows. I know Rich Little is there. They have a rock show. And then I'm a big Esteban fan.
Esteban is great.
With his daughter, Teresa Joy. Yeah. She plays the violin. But I love Esteban.
Esteban's fantastic. And he's one of the greatest, one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. He's believe it or not, he's a big supporter of this show.
Is that right?
Yeah. He started tuning into this show about, I think, a month ago. I think he would listen to it here and there. But it's funny, man, because when I show up at work on Fridays and Saturdays now, he'll reference something from the show that day. So it's very cool. Yeah, that's
Well, that show goes, I mean, I show up early for, like, tonight I'm doing a guest spot at Anthony's show, Comedy After Dark, Anthony Padilla, LVH at 10:15. But Esteban's show goes at 8:30. And I always show up early because I love the last, the entire show is great, but the last 15-20 minutes, he does a great medley with his daughter, Play Me, Neil Diamond, and Here Comes the Sun, The Beatles, and some other great covers, but just a unique take on things, but an outstanding entertainer.
Very much so. Yes, you definitely get your money's worth from an entertainment standpoint in that show. Both he and Teresa Joy are fantastic. And she's on violin, and she's rocking it out. And it's cool because they kind of take you on a journey. It's not just play music. You know, they talk to you, and they kind of bring you in. It's a great date situation.
Right on. Yeah, if I ever get one again, I'll certainly keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And have you ever had a date?
No, but I can imagine that when I'm sitting up there watching that show, that it'd be nice if I had a lady with me. Or even Deja. Even my dog.
Your
even
dog,
if she was there,
Deja,
she likes
right on.
Soft enough music sometimes to just put her to sleep. I'd feel, all right, this is getting miserable.
This is The Odds Couple on KSHP. The studio line is open. 702-221-7283. Live chat up and running. Keep those studio questions, comments coming. We like to get challenged every now and again. This is an exciting part of the show. As good as it's been, it's about to get even better. Anthony Padilla and I together are about to put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
Well, for the past 5 months, this has been the right side. Dating back to last week, apparently it was the wrong side for me. But again, if there's one thing that was learned in this, I'm all about if you make a mistake, if you lose, learn from it. And what I learned, and what I should have already known, don't pick Houston-Pittsburgh to try to make money on. Because you don't know what you're going to get from these teams. You're picking the bottom of the barrel in Houston, who actually has a chance, speaking of streaks, to possibly beat out the worst record in a season held by the New York Mets. So day to day, you don't know, you've got a team that designates Rick Ankiel for assignment, and then he goes to the Mets, gets picked up, and he's starting in center field and playing lights out. But he wasn't good enough to play with Houston, who's 14-33. And this is the team that I decided to put my money on, and it was stupid. So if you can learn anything, more so than anything else I'm going to talk about, don't pick a game where you're really unsure. And I thought that I was sure because of the pitching matchup. And funny enough, when I left here that day, what you said to me, Scott, actually rang very true as I'm driving away thinking, oh, that was such a good point, and I should have been more aware of that, was the fact that, yes, I was right about the starting pitchers, But I didn't, for whatever reason, take into consideration the fact that they were going to get chased. So once they get chased, you don't know what's coming from the bullpen. You don't know, and that's generally where it happens. Like you said, you like to bet the first five innings, and that was a major component to me losing that game. Again, the biggest reason was because of one stupid error that cost Pittsburgh three runs, but it doesn't matter. The game is over. I lost by a run. C'est la vie. You move on. You pick another game, and you go cash another ticket. So this week, I have the Pacers taking on the Heat. Obviously, everybody knows where these two teams sit right now. This is a much, much better series than I think 90% of people expected. I think there were people out there who felt like Indiana was going to hold their own. I think there's a lot of people out there who would like to see the Pacers go on and win. But, I mean, let's be honest. In terms of ratings for the NBA, if you had a Grizzlies-Pacers final versus a Spurs-Heat final, there would be a drastic, drastic decline in the amount of viewership that you're going to get. So everybody's pulling for the Spurs Heat. Clearly, that's the way that it looks to be headed. But it doesn't matter because we're not betting on the series. We're betting on a game. And just like Memphis has their backs against the wall, Indiana has their backs against the wall. And Indiana is in a situation where they could definitely be leading this series right now. They're playing a Heat team that, from what I've seen in the past series, you know, if the Heat play a close game, they seem to just kind of come out and blow out the team the next game because it's almost like it was a wake-up call for them. You know, LeBron is just doing what he does. Dwayne Wade is really playing strong. Chris Bosh looks really good. The guy's coming off the bench. Like, this looks like the solid Heat team that you would expect to be doing this. However, this Indiana team, somehow, you remember last week I was chastising Indiana fans for not getting behind their team and this team. It's like, do you guys, you know you're in the playoffs, right? Man, they really turned it on for this last game against the Heat. And I really thought, they were that close to winning the game. Unfortunately, you know, in the last seconds of overtime, it was those mental mistakes that cost them. And I think ultimately that's the difference between these teams. The lack of experience, the youth of this Indiana team, I think is going to be what cost them the series ultimately. But again, that doesn't matter. In this game specifically, the Heat are favored by 7.5. That's hefty. I mean, that's very hefty considering how close that game was the other night. And the fact that it's not like Miami was dominating that entire game and Indiana never had a chance to win it. Indiana played tough. And I think it's going to be another tough game. Now, yes, I think it was also that proverbial wake-up call, you know, kind of prodding the lion, so to speak, not in a derogatory way, like based on what comments and stuff like that do, but just the fact that I think they played them closer than the Heat were expecting. And so I think the Heat will come out more prepared, but I also think Indiana's coming to play. So that 7.5, I think, is a gift. So the right side for me in this game, take the Pacers plus the 7.5. Maybe they'll win the game, but even if they lose, it's going to be by 5 or less. So that's a ticket to cash.
Before we get to my right side, let's recap what I did yesterday. I'd been riding quite a streak, 11 wins, 4 losses, ATS against the spread, betting baseball totals, baseball dogs, a slight favorite now and again. And yesterday, 2 nights ago, I played the game, the Royals against the Angels, under 9. It fell 5-4. Push yesterday. Yesterday morning, even all the money had come in on the under. So again, buyer beware. It's critically important to get good numbers long term. Short term, it may not seem that big of a deal, but ultimately, it's a huge, huge deal. So I pushed yesterday. 11 wins, 4 losses. My last 15 games. I'm looking at a baseball game today. I was listening to Anthony talk about the Houston Astros against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Obscure, ugly teams. Why does he bet them? I love ugly. I love obscure. Maybe that's why I like teams like the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs. It's because ugly wins, especially when it comes to cashing tickets. Overpriced, overhyped, big market teams oftentimes are overvalued. I'm looking at the Pirates taking on the Milwaukee Brewers, another very non-sexy team. Looking at the total, it's 8, shading the under, minus 115. My right side, Brewers hosting the Pirates, under 8, minus the 15. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. See the cashier.
I need to see the cashier.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is she pretty?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Does it matter? Does it matter?
No, not
it's
anymore.
It's all about the personality?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ladies,
it has sustaining qualities
out there with sustaining qualities, yeah. And don't mind that I lose occasionally. Please, let's work something out.
Yeah, as long as the lady's okay with you losing once every 5 months.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Let's see next week. I'm riding a one-game losing streak right now, so I'm very aware.
We document and track the plays. This show is about education. It's about some entertainment and even some humor now and again, as long as the humor isn't based on our picks. Yesterday, we had some great live chat questions, a couple of studio callers. I was addressing parlays, and generally, I want one of the gentlemen was kind enough to comment after the show. He wanted more specificity in regards to why I think parlays are for suckers. I feel strongly about this because I've been doing this for the past 30 years, and every sportsbook supervisor I talk to openly admits to the fact that the sportsbooks make their money off of teaser players and parlay players. Mathematically, it makes no sense to bet parlays, and I say this respectfully because I know in my sports betting seminars that I do with Dink at Harrah's on the Strip, I share this information and people get it, but they still bet parlays. And I'm sensitive to that because, as I mentioned yesterday, I know a double cheeseburger from BK is not good for my health. I'm going to do it anyway. But please understand what you're up against. A two-team parlay against the spread will pay you 13-5, which is +260. Some play, it used to be they'd actually give you a fighting chance and give you 14-5, which is +280. The real number is 3-1. Now, if you are going to bet a five-team parlay, as I mentioned yesterday, just to recap, because Anthony, I know you were sleeping at the time, you're looking at 20-1 odds, but the real odds are 32-1. So if we're looking at a two-team parlay, okay, if you bet $1,100 to win $1,000, on a straight play, and you win, well, again, please understand that if you bet $1,000 on a two-team parlay, you net $2,600. I'm saying that you're giving away $400. Because if you bet the game yourself on a straight play against the spread, $1,100 to win $1,000, and you win, now you have $2,100. You take that $2,100 and you bet it on your second team, now you're looking at about $4,000 to $4,100 after your initial $1,000 to $1,100 investment. So the difference is you net very close to $3,000 as opposed to $2,600. So with the parlay, even when you win, you lose. This is the Odds Couple on KSHP, AM 1400 Radio. Scott Pritchard, Mike Side with my good buddy Anthony Padilla. What are you doing this weekend?
Hanging out, baby. My parents are in town. This is big. I'm only excited about this. Normally I wouldn't talk about my family, but it's their wedding anniversary tomorrow, and they came back in town. It was a surprise trip. They're going to see Fleetwood Mac on Sunday, so it's a big family weekend, which is very cool to me because family is important. So
I love your parents. Very nice, genuine, down-to-earth people. Where did you come from?
No idea. I don't know where they adopted me from. I know they tried giving me back a couple of times. Here I am.
And you're at LVH
They've
tonight.
Stuck around, yeah. Yeah, and I'll be at LVH tonight. Yes. With
Check
a drink
out that
in hand.
Show. I like it. I love the show, Comedy After Dark, Anthony Padilla. I'm doing a guest spot there tonight. Jeremy Wien, what a class act he is.
That's the greatest dude in the world, man.
Yeah, he's very, very funny, a former childhood star. If you're in Vegas, check out Anthony's show, Comedy After Dark, LVH. If Bally's, I'm there every Saturday night, LA Comedy Club. Comics are outstanding. The headliner, the feature, more times than not, have had their own Comedy Central specials, Showtime specials. They've been on Conan, so check that out. Check out my site, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com. We're here Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Las Vegas time. The Odds Couple talking sports betting. Do you have any parting shots, any words of wisdom, anything that we can take to the cashier with us?
The ticket. Folks, because again, that was a little gift from the sports handicappers and the sports books here in Vegas tonight. 7.5 is a steep. That's just crazy. To quote Scott Pritchard, how do these sports books stay open? I have no idea. But tonight, you and I are going to be celebrating big time with a at least a nice tea or something. That's probably all I'm going to be able to afford. Because even if I bet, it's going to be a $5 bet. So, that's all I've got.
I've mentioned that this show goes Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., the Odds Couple, sports betting. Monday, Memorial Day weekend, we are going to give the sports books, well, not really. I'm not going to give the sports book a break, ever. I'll be betting, but this show will not take place this coming Monday. We'll be back Tuesday with Brett Grant. For my good buddy Anthony Padilla, my name is Scott Pritchard. We appreciate you tuning in to the Odds Couple. Good luck and goodbye.
See ya.